can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Extraordinary piece of information from iCook Foods that we've just played.
No, we haven't played it.
Okay.
Well, can I give an update while you're talking about extraordinary things? This is Wednesday morning as we go to air, and you wouldn't believe it.
Is this sport?
It's not sport.
Well, it isn't, in a way.
Well, to the man who's in charge of this particular little... sauté.
You've got an addiction of some sort.
Yes, it is sport to him, but it could be a business as well. But an update. Mm. Ding, 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 ding. A text has just come through.
What's
and I'm very serious as we go on to
air.
Can
you do that again?
What's that ding, ding business?
Well, that's kind of, I used to do that in the old days. Remember they, on radio?
No. Did they go ding, 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 ding?
They did on...
Alert, alert.
No, I don't think they went ding, 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 Don.
Well, anyway.
Ding, dong, daddy.
Okay, well, the update on that Nissan Patrol, the maroon. Yes, that's it. Thank you very much. The Nissan Patrol, that Nissan Patrol that we're talking about. I've just got a text.
The Nissan Patrol, yeah, go on.
Yeah, Patrol was used, can you believe this, to steal another car in Pakenham last weekend.
Sure, the cops haven't stolen it.
The patrol was used to steal another car in Pakenham over the weekend. How long can this car just continue around the Pakenham, Cranbourne, Hastings?
I reckon the coppers have stolen it and they're just not picking themselves up.
It's unbelievable. That has just come in Wednesday morning.
And you say they're changing the number plates.
It came in at 10.7. That text came in at 10.17 a.m. this morning.
I know this will be... Thank you, Don. The update. Ding, 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 ding. Now, here's a ding, ding, ding. The number one sports person in the world at the minute, this is my, this is my personal opinion, this will be a little obscure to most people who don't follow it, but if you follow MotoGP, check out Marc Marquez.
Yes, good call.
He was 600 days out of action because of he's had multiple operations after he's... bike crash in the MotoGP nearly killed him, and he came back and won for the seventh or eighth time in a row in the German Grand Prix. He won on the weekend. Marc Marquez. If you want to see what gonads are on any sportsman, man or woman, well, I suppose women can have gonads these days, the way things are going. Have a look at him, who Marc Marquez on a MotoGP, the Repsol MotoGP he rides.
Good call. About time you come good.
What do you mean?
Well, he can make some ridiculous statements.
Well, it's funny, you know, what rings
Holy
your bell, isn't
shit.
It? Yeah, I know. What rings what your bell? I saw that about him doing that, but it doesn't interest me. Car racing doesn't interest me.
This is motorbikes.
Motorbikes, doesn't it?
One leg inside of a bullet. I mean, that's just an amazing effort physically.
I understand it is, but it doesn't turn me on.
And they actually race one another. They race beside one another as opposed to the F1 cars. And they come down the straight, Don. They come down the straight at 340K an hour. 340 down a straight on a motorbike and then brake to within... like 50K to go around a corner. Like, they are extraordinary.
Now, ding, 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 ding.
Did you see?
Hang on.
News alert, Don.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, sorry.
When you hear the ding, ding.
Sorry.
How was your coffee?
Sorry?
Ooh.
How was your coffee with your mate?
Who's yours? My very good friend. Now look.
Did you have a
coffee? But COVID's over. The lockdown's over.
No, I know. No, I'm sure he's going to ring. I made sure I'm not going out.
He hasn't.
He hasn't yet, but he diarised when I spoke to him on the phone. He said, I will diarise a coffee meeting with you, and when the COVID's over, which it is. So I've made sure I haven't gone out of town, or I'm just staying around where I live, so that when he rings or contacts me, I can go straight down for coffee. So looking forward to it. It'll be
You could ask him.
Yes.
When he moves on from that position, yes. Because there was a little line in the Herald Sun yesterday and I thought, here we go, the AFL are at it again. They haven't found a successor. or it wasn't a successor put up
to
his position. Now, I thought...
Is this at like a commission meeting or something?
Beg your pardon?
Was this out of a commission
meeting? No. It was just an article. It was only a few lines.
Writing these questions down.
Small article there, and I thought they're just slowly starting the AFL. I thought Brendan Gale went for the job or the interview last time, and Brendan was, you know, the likely successor. Now he's got a football.
He's on the nose, I reckon.
Well, isn't it interesting?
He shouldn't be. He's fantastic. He should absolutely be.
Why is he on the nose, Rocket?
Well, you just they've turned on him. They've had a few Barneys, okay? And Richmond's had a bit of a crack a few times, and, you know, Hardwick's had a crack at the AFL about playing at Marvel, and they've had a few issues, and Peggy O'Neill's come out and said that things need to happen with the AFL with those the bullying claims and sexual harassment claims that came out with...
As a result of the book.
Yep, and so I just think, I can just see it's turning, and even Caro's turned on Brenny Gale. You know, like Caro's now sort of keeps pumping up this Richmond. And so she's evenly, if you like, she's equally, like I dare say she's actually objective on this because she loves Richmond and she obviously is in suite with the AFL. So for her to start talking about this feud between the AFL and Richmond, I think things have changed for Brendan.
Okay, well, what do you think? I'm going to throw a name up here. And since I've been doing this show, I just take people as they are.
Is this a ding, ding, ding moment?
Well... Travis Old, do you think he will be the next CEO? Like he'd keep things kind of as they're running at the moment, whereas Brendan, being a football person...
Wouldn't lift the rug.
What?
He wouldn't lift the rug.
What are you talking about?
If there were things swept under it.
I don't understand what you're saying. You got to hit me between you. Don't be subtle. Just tell me. I don't understand.
Well, he wouldn't sweep things under the carpet. He'd lift the rug up and
if Brendan or someone from the outside came in, they might lift the carpet.
Okay. Since what irritates me, when the commission first came into being, Jack Hamilton was a football person and he was the first CEO and everything was honky-dory.
What was Schwab? How did that work?
Now, Schwab was number two.
Did you say honky-dory?
Swabby was number two. Then Ross Oakley, he was a player and things. Ian Collins never got elevated. Now, he was CEO at Carlton, then went in number two, and Wayne Jackson came along.
Chairman of Carlton and CEO at Marvel.
And also the CEO of Carlton, and he should have been elevated. Why can't football? Why can't the football people... Okay, you can say Gillon McLachlan played for the amateurs or whatever else.
We've all played local footy.
Listen to the Rocket way.
Well, you could say that about Demetra. Brian Cook. Why didn't Brian Cook get a go at the AFL? He's run, you know, West Coast Eagles, Geelong, been there, and is the longest administrator. But I understand he's going to retire at the end of the year.
Because they didn't want the rug to be lifted.
That's exactly right. Now, there's one person standing there at the moment, Brendan Gale, but I can see the wheels turning.
Who has got the perfect CV for it.
Exactly right.
He's perfect.
Can I ask you this, Don?
Exactly.
Did you say everything's not honky-dory?
Where?
Hunky,
did you say honky dory?
Oh, I don't know what I said.
Well, it's hunky. It's hunky dory.
Well, you stand there, and I'm glad you're there to correct me.
Well,
thank you very much.
So I'm going to. So you don't think, Rocket? I'm going to ask him when I have coffee with him.
I don't think you're going to have coffee with him.
You don't think the amateurs is good enough to have played football in the amateurs?
It's local footy. They don't even tackle in the amateurs.
All right. Well, I'll write.
They don't even turn up. When the snow's falling, the amateurs. So. It's a Mickey Mouse competition.
Okay,
it's a very good competition.
They're not plagiarism. No, that's bullshit.
I am telling you, to be a coach of the amateurs would be a very, very frustrating position because if they don't want to play or they're a little bit injured or there's something else on socially, I'm not playing today. I'm sorry.
I'll ask him all those. I've got a couple of other questions. Where would we have coffee?
Wayne Jackson played footy then. He played in the Sandfall. Right, so yes. He was a football guy, according to Don. How low do we go when you're not when you're still a football bloke? We're talking about playing at the top level, aren't we?
You're digging the boots in now to him. My word, I'm going to mention to when I have
amateurs
coffee.
Doesn't count as a footballer in the same respect that Ross Oakley
and he is a friend of mine, and I'll be asking him what he thinks his credentials are if he's played in the amateurs. There's some people just a little sceptical about what you knew about football, but Where would I have coffee during?
I'm not saying he doesn't know about football. I'm just saying it's not the same as what Dom just said in the vein of Hamilton and Ross Oakley and whatnot. They all played at the top level.
Well, you don't have
Hammer to. Hammer is a long way off the top level.
But you don't have to have been to the moon to know it's there.
I'm not saying that. I was just saying what Don just said about he wants a football person in there. We certainly need football
people in the AFL have just, their tentacles are just too far now. They're not there administering the game. They're running the game as far as clubs go. There's a number of clubs that they are running and have got a real influence in. You boys didn't happen to see about the chap that came out in the America, the gridiron player, came out.
Came out
where? What do you mean came out?
Came out for Australia?
He came out.
Outed himself?
Yeah,
out of
gay.
What?
He's gay.
Oh, yes. Turn it up.
What do you mean turn it up?
Don't tell me there's gay people in America. What do you mean?
Gridiron. Gridiron player came, you know.
There's plenty of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I listened to a discussion the other night, last night it was, on, you know, they said there's, you know, so many gay people in there, and they gave a percentage.
10%.
Yes. Well, say 10%. We'll just use a figure of 10%. And then they pick up the popular sports in Australia, which are Aussie rules, NRL, but it could be basketball, it could be soccer, it could be anything.
Yes.
And they said, well, 10%.
Are homosexuals.
Are gay that play AFL football. And is the culture within, you know, NRL or Aussie rules allowing people to come out or express themselves? But
what,
surely
what,
that's what? Not. But that's not the, you know, why should there be, or why would they say there's 10%?
Why would they even mention it?
Well, exactly right, because people that are that way inclined are not really interested in those type of sports, are they, as far as men go?
No, just a minute, Don, now. That's a sweeping statement. People who are homosexuals are not interested in what?
Well,
sport.
Well, sport.
No, I agree with what you're saying. They're less. If you are, I get what you're saying. In the past, because of the way that we used to, you know, ostracize or we didn't properly include people, if you were gay, you were less likely to pick up a sport because you were, for whatever reason, you felt excluded from it. So therefore, the percentage
well,
are
you,
lower.
You weren't interested. It's more the word. Your
that.
Interests
But I do think it will slowly catch up. You'll find
yeah,
that
but
eventually
hang on, no,
it'll
no.
be 10%.
Your interests are not in a combative or physical
so
sport.
So more effeminate things you're
well,
interested in.
Well, that's right. Exactly right. So consequently, and I'm not saying you can't be interested.
Oh,
there
no,
is.
You're
but
not
to
saying
put
that.
A flat percentage of, say, because the general community is just an example, 10%, why there's 10% of AFL or NRL or basketballers are gay.
Yes.
What a stupid statement to say.
Well, eventually that will be
and then they're blaming the culture within those organisations.
And I just want to apologise to everybody who played amateur football listening because I know I'm going to cough it all week for what I said.
Not a
joke,
mate. I'll
it was
bring
a
it
joke.
Up with Gil. I'm
not worried about that. I'm not worried about
no,
him.
No, but I will bring it up.
I
hope you didn't take offence to the Rocket
I was
saying that amateur football was piss weak. Oh,
I didn't say that was piss weak. I never didn't say that.
I'll square that away with him.
I didn't say that.
Over coffee.
I was just
talking about not gender issues, but can we go on with another one?
Very good.
And I would say the Olympic Games.
This
now,
is a disgrace, this.
The Olympic Games, in my mind, as far as women are concerned, is now finished.
I agree
as
with
as
you.
Women are concerned. Oh, yeah.
Yes, because of the New Zealand weightlifter.
Yep.
Who's a male? Is transgendered into being a female weightlifter and has been selected to the New South
Laurel Hubbard
New Zealand weightlifting team to go to Tokyo. It is an absolute disgrace, and that's the end of it.
That's the finish for women in Olympic Games.
So what
from
I
here
want
on
to
in.
Know, Don,
what
is,
concerns me is her age.
What has that got to do?
So
with
well, well, what, you would typically compete. In your prime. Yeah, in your prime, 25 to 35. Let's call it right. And what concerns me is that she's 43.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
So what that worries me is that didn't quite work out for her in her previous. This is going to be horrible.
He was a very good weightlifter.
And then when it didn't quite work for him, and
no,
didn't
no,
get
there
gold,
were a few
well,
problems.
I'll switch over the other
Hang
one.
On now, don't talk over one another.
You know,
Don,
at 43, I'll switch over. I've got another Olympics in me if I go over and become. This is the concern. I'm not saying this is the case. This is the concern. The concern is that. Competed as a man, as we know she did, right? Didn't quite work out for her. So how can you go to an Olympics again? I can trans, where I'll do well. And at 43, still going at the Olympics. No other there's not too many men competing in weightlifting 43.
So Don, we say this, and all of us say this. We don't care if you wish to be a man who wishes to be a woman, or vice versa. You can call yourself anything you like. You can live any life you like. But once you are selfish and arrogant enough to insert yourself into women's sport when you are a biological male, that is the end of the Olympics, of competitive sport as we know it. Where are all the women's advocates who say biological women should play women's sport? Where are the advocates? Like, why aren't female, you know, like, well, I wouldn't even mention a name. Why wouldn't people be up at Martina Navratilova's on about it? There's plenty of people that get ostracized because they have an opinion, a legitimate opinion. And what about how weak are the New Zealand Olympic Committee and how weak are the Olympics in general that allow this to happen? The New Zealand Olympic Federation should be ashamed of themselves. It is a disgrace. And if you're talking about inclusivity, diversity, equality, equity, inclusion, all that is bullshit when you are talking about male and female athletes and just transgendering down to be a woman just so you can be the top of the tree because you're actually a biological male. It is bullshit. And if you want to call me transphobic, good on you. It's a disgrace.
Did you happen to see?
It's not transphobic. What you're saying is you got to, I guess, articulate in a way that you're saying you wanted to protect the sport for females, not necessarily. You haven't got any issue with transphobic people.
I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to get you to express it a bit differently, though.
I said, mate, we don't care what you wish to be. You can pretend you're anything you like.
Yeah, but don't be anti-trans. Just say that you're trying to isolate women's sport.
Well, why don't they have their own games?
I think that might be the option, yeah.
You know, you just can't do what they're
How
doing.
Pathetic are the New Zealand Olympic Committee to let it happen? No, seriously.
Well, no, you get no argument from me. You can talk about the...
Do you know what happens if anybody stands up and says no to that?
This is right, Rocket. This is the intimidation by inference, by being named and put in a pigeonhole because you dare to push back on nonsense. This is nonsense. It's seriously. And they... where are the women's advocates? Why aren't they out? Why wouldn't someone like Carolyn Wilson be out doing this? Mind you, if she doesn't come out doing anything about what has gone on in Mike Warner's book about sexism in the AFL, I don't suppose she's going to do anything.
Now, listen, I don't know about you guys, but a few people have rung me. They haven't been able to get that book. It's sold out.
It's number one in sport and really? Number three overall on the charts. That was the last time I looked.
What, yeah. Around Australia or Melbourne?
Australia.
Really? Mm.
So
is that right?
Number? I'm going to ask him about if he says he read it, and what's he think about it?
Who's your friend?
Well, when I have coffee,
he's a good mate.
My good mate.
That's why he rang you on the Tuesday prior. Haven't you worked that out yet?
What are you saying?
What are you saying, Don?
He rang you on the Tuesday prior to the Michael Warner interview, trying to coerce you.
Oh. Did he?
Into what?
Is that what
you reckon?
Well,
going easy on the AFL. Why would he ring you otherwise? You never spoke to him. Oh. Are you thick or what?
Yeah, I'd never.
You're as thick as a brick.
Are you saying? I've never thought of that, Don. Are you saying that my friend rang me up the day before we interviewed Michael Warner because he had an ulterior motive? That I've never.
If he was a good friend.
Why didn't I think of that?
Why wasn't your good friend ringing you weekly?
Oh,
he hadn't rung you for five or 6 years. You haven't had a conversation with
him. How wet am I behind the ears?
I know. You're thick as a brick.
Shit. That is extraordinary, Don. I've never even thought of that.
Righto.
So
okay,
you can
start filling
your diary again.
Oh, man.
Did you happen to see your captain the other day for Geelong?
That shattered me. That.
Okay, righto. Well, let's go for another subject. Did you watch the captain of Geelong the other day? Joel Selwood, did you watch him, what he did?
What did he do, Don?
Well, Joel, I think you are starting to just go over that line.
Was this when the coach said that he would,
yes,
if I take him on his word?
Yes, the coach is wrong here too. I don't know what the coach is doing, but Joel, You didn't have to put your hand down on the player's face the way you did. We've all played the game.
Yes, you've
kicked
people.
And we know what is sacrosanct, and as far as the game of football is concerned, when you're tackling and manhandling, and also to take a short step the way you did when you were standing on the mark.
Is it? But Don,
I think he is.
But
going
Don,
a little
you
bit too
said
far.
When you played this. Don, anything went. You said you kicked.
I did not stand on anybody.
You gouged.
No, I didn't.
You said you did. You gouged. You elbowed. You kneed people.
I did not gouge. You can blind somebody.
Hey, is it fair that Geelong gets to play on the ground they train on?
Well, isn't it interesting? Once upon a time, that was always called a home ground advantage.
Well, that no, they're the only ones that get it. Them
I
Brisbane
understand
now.
That, but I'm just saying, isn't it interesting? Once upon a time, it was called home ground advantage. You have to go and play at Collingwood, Geelong or St Kilda or wherever.
Because I'll tell you what my I don't really care. I think the Dogs played well. When they also, you know, like when Gary Rowan took that kick after the siren, they would have had so many, so much practice kicking at that goal. It's on the race side of the ground where they sit around and, you know, piss fart around before and after training having shots. So they know it backwards. Glenn Jakovich said to me years ago, you know when you used to watch games at Subi?
And Glenn Jakovich said to you, did he? Wow.
So you know when they play, you know the corner. You know
well
the,
connected.
He used to work with me. You know, on the far side of Subi, on the left-hand side, I'm talking about from the camera, the way that you watch it on TV.
Yes.
That's where the Eagles' race was. They never missed from that pocket.
Oh, really?
And everybody else used to miss because of the wind. So my suggestion is it fair that Gary Rowan got to take that shot at goal when he would have had it 1,000?
Oh, they should take the points off him.
Cheaters.
They're nothing but cheaters. Did you ever watch that show, Cheaters?
Oh, God.
Did you see that bloke used to spring people out pegging other people's misses as well. They made a show out of it. Now, Don, I'll tell
you. Talking about cheaters.
I know. Go on.
Oh, this is a compliment. And you don't watch football, but I happen to tune in occasionally. Toby Green is the best captain I have seen for a long time.
Is he from the Greater West Sydney?
He is. He's got aggression. He's got skill. He's got that thing that can just lift a team at the appropriate stage. He's a small man. He's not a big man.
No, he's a small man.
But he makes up with it, his aggression. He pulled out the other day, and I do not, and I've advocated this for years, these boys are professional footballers. Why they haven't got all skills mastered, I don't know. And one is the torpedo punt.
Yes.
Now, he let one go from the edge of the square, went straight through. The goals, it was a long way out. Why they don't perfect that from a long distance, I don't know. It's like shooting 3 points in basketball.
Yep.
They should perfect it. You can be 50, 60 metres out and you can still be very, very dangerous.
I know Malcolm Blight kicked a torpedo once to win a game for North Melbourne, and Jeff Ferring kicked probably the longest.
But you had another fellow playing for
you. I'm just about to say it. The best ever.
Doug Wade.
He was he could kick. I know this. We get the distances get longer, but yards in those days, 70-yard torpedo. Every time he kicked it, he was unbelievable.
He was a master. He showed me how to kick that at Glenfree. You remember you used to have your business, the hair business,
Technique
in
Distributors. We did.
Anyway, at lunchtime, he used to take me down to Glenfree Oval, and he showed me how to kick He showed me how to kick the
torpedo.
Tell us,
just run through, how did he tell you to do it?
Well, the way of dropping the ball.
Go on, explain it.
No, I'm not going to spell. You need the ball in your hand to do it.
Well, and you hold it at 45 degrees.
Well, all
you have
of
your
that
hand under the ball.
Yes, and he picked up what I was doing wrong, and when I corrected what he was.
You're a shocking kick.
Well, he showed me, and it was. You're a bastard.
That's
what we're using. I'm glad you brought him up because he was very dangerous.
The best.
50 metres out, 60 metres out, he was always on.
Your go-to kick was the tumble punt.
Oh, my. I couldn't get a kick.
You kicked the ball end over end.
You used to hold the ball, didn't you, Don?
Oh, you listen to the Braybrook wonder over here.
I was just thinking when you were saying it, I now remember it. I remember the way you used to hold the ball.
You wouldn't even remember. You were in diapers. You wouldn't even thought about it.
I remember seeing you once. I was little and you had Princess Park.
Oh, little.
Obviously. You're at Princess Park running
now,
around.
Now, Don, I tell you another blokes. Big thing that's happened. This has knocked Mark Marquez off the front page. It's knocked the New Zealand Olympic weightlifter. Paul Gallen even got beaten up by Justice Hooney, or Honey as you called him. But the biggest thing that's happened has been the 50-year reunion of Hawthorn's premiership, Don.
No, this year.
Oh, sorry. It hasn't happened yet.
And I've got great...
Run through it all for us, will you?
Well...
Who'd you beat?
St Kilda.
Thomas. Didn't you beat up? No.
So in 1971, we beat St Kilda.
Oh, 71. I thought it was 71.
Somebody Wrong came decade. Up with the ingenious idea as far as the date is concerned, and it's going to be on Saturday night.
Will you be going?
The night of the grand final. So the grand final this year, I don't know what the date is.
25th of September.
Okay. Well, it'll be 50 years to the day that we celebrated and winning our first premiership, 1971.
And if they coincided at Don with you being made a legend of the club, what was it that Jeff Kennett put up?
Legend.
If that coincided with you saying, Don, we'd like to make you a legend of the club, would you accept the
I
award?
I would accept
on
that at that function.
Oh, wow, would you? Holy mackerel.
Oliver.
Ding, 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 ding. Bulletin now for the Hawthorn Football Club. Don will now graciously accept. We've dragged him across the line.
On his
kicking
terms.
And screaming. And would you let Jeff Kennett present it to you?
I will accept
Hello?
It.
Let's
ring Jeff.
I'll ring him.
Give us your phone.
Right over here it is. Where is it? Oh, here it is. There you are. Right, you've got it.
Anyway, don't worry. Just come on. Hurry up. Get him on the phone. Get it. Oh, come on. Hurry up.
Hang on. All right. Hang on.
He's getting his number.
Well, hurry up. This.
Go on.
Just ring it.
All right.
Oh. Hello? Jeff Kennett. Have
Jeff.
A nice day.
It's Rod.
Rod who? Rod who? Yes, who?
Don.
Quickly now, time is
Don,
running.
I've got Don on the line. He's agreed to be a legend.
Don who?
Don, speak to the man.
Don Burke? He came and did my garden once. Don, is he really
going
to...
You're getting his voice wrong. You got the wrong voice. It's like...
Oh, you're telling me how to do his fucking voice,
You normally
voice,
do it differently.
All right, well, I'm a bit nervous. Hello. It's Jeff Kennett here. Oh. Yes, I'd be very happy to present Don with the... Oh, do Don. What do you think? I'm Mel Blanc. I'm doing all the Looney Tunes. characters.
Well, I thought Alan Searle used to go around and help Jeff with his garden.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Jeff Kennett interviewing Don and Alan Searle being down at Don's place doing a bit of landscape gardening. Right, here it goes. This is making me nervous. Hello, is that you, Don?
Yes, Jeff, it is.
I got lace bugs and moths down here in the backyard, Don.
Just a minute, I'm speaking to Jeff Kennett.
Yes, you're speaking to me. Now, Don, if we presented you... John, can I say I've got lace bugs and moths here and we've got to get the silver fish here.
Just a minute, what's he, Sir? Alan? Just a minute, Alan, I'm speaking to Jeff Kennett. Don, are you there? Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
Lace bugs and moths are bad for your rose. Garden. What? Rose. I'm going to plant rose up against the wall.
Well, be careful of her.
No. The plant, Don. I'm going to. And if you let mice and lice get into the lace bugs, and then I'm going to pot iris.
You're going to pot iris as well? Hey, Jeff!
No, I've lost track of who I'm speaking to. Anyhow, Don, would you?
Okay, deal.
Now, Don, so who will be there just for this? I know you've gone half firm listening to us speak about you. In fact, you've got a raging... Don, who would be some of the people from 50 years ago that would be there? Peter Knights?
Well, Knights, he was a player, yes.
Oh,
He didn't play in the final.
Give us the ones who will be there.
In the second semi.
Give us the ones who will be there.
Oh, well,
some of them.
All of the team.
Did you speak to any of them when you were the captain?
I wasn't captain in 71. David Parkin was.
Oh.
There'd be David. Let me see. David Parkin, Kelvin Moore, Les Hawke and Robert Day.
Would there be anyone there
Norm
that's got
Russell.
A prostate? Anyone at all
David
there that's
Parkin.
Got a prostate?
David Parkin.
He hasn't got a prostate.
He's been operated on?
He hasn't got a prostate. He's had it taken out.
Do anyone that's still got their prostate?
Yes, it's
oh, still got it. Oh,
fuck, you're geez. Dumb. You're oh, so right. slow, it's unbelievable, yeah, okay. Don. Seriously.
Anyway, everyone, unfortunately, Des Marr won't be there. He passed away a couple of years ago. And Peter Crimmins. Unfortunately.
Won't be there, Don.
Will Jeff be there?
Carlton Football Club are conducting a review. And football has gone... In the 60s, they were talking about getting more business-orientated people onto the committees. Well, it's just gone a little bit too far now, and this is not the first time it's happened, but Carlton are holding a review. Why would they get two outsiders from their club, one Matthew Pavlich, the other Jeff Walsh, to help on the review? Now, if you knew your business, in any other business, you should know your product, which is football. And if you... and the Carlton committee don't know the product, which is football. Otherwise, they wouldn't be enlisting outside help. And what would the outside help know the intrinsic problems that are Carlton?
You make a lot of sense, Don. What in possible God's name would a review, if you haven't got the players or you haven't recruited the right stock or cattle to win the football and kick some goals that wins a game, what will the review tell you?
That we've done recruiting badly, or we're not running the canteen properly, or the social club's not...
It is just window dressing, Don, for incompetence. How about getting some players? You can change the coach every other week if you like. How about we get some players with some integrity, some direction and some enthusiasm rather than having a jumbled mass of nonsense going on? They just do this over and over, and clubs do it. What will the review tell them? That what? That we got the wrong people on the committee? We got the wrong players? How come the top sides have players who can play football and the bottom sides have players? Don't tell me there is a hell of a lot of difference between talent, generally speaking, between some players at one club and some players at another. What will the review tell you?
And I agree with what you're saying.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, good one.
Tony Jewell, who coached Richmond to a premiership, finished up 2 years later and then went and coached St Kilda, who were a bottom side. And in his mind, he coached better at St Kilda than what he did at Richmond, and they won a premiership because simply he had the best players at Richmond, whereas at St Kilda he had to actually coach.
Change the culture.
Well, not the culture, but he had to get the players up, coach them, and he believes that he coached better at St Kilda than what he did at Richmond, and he won a premiership.
Reviews.
So that's an interesting statement by Tony.
Is there anything else, Don, that you'd like to touch
netball, on? Netball, I talk on netball. Can we get a netball? I would love some. I watched it on the weekend.
We asked you to get a netball last week. You turned it to Scotty
just
Barlow.
Yeah. I watched it. To me, it's not riveting TV, but it's very, very good TV on a Sunday afternoon watching the teams play. They are exceptionally athletic, and it's a very good game.
Is that
why it
in
doesn't
the Olympics?
Receive more publicity than what it does in the daily papers? I don't understand.
Netball in the Olympics?
No, it's in the Commonwealth Games.
I reckon because it's been the attention has been diverted to footy, women's football. It was the number one.
But this is these are these
good point, Rocket.
These people are outstanding athletes.
Yeah, I agree.
We haven't got outstanding athletes except for one or two that play AFL football.
I agree,
football.
But I'm saying, but it's these the marketing women push. It's the might of the AFL.
But surely women are 50% of our population.
I agree.
And there's a game that they're so proficient at and
because
very
it's
good
their
at.
Traditional sport.
And it's their
and
only
what the
game.
Rocket's saying is that the AFL Women's League takes off because it's AFL football and people are just consumed by AFL.
Or is it the AFL? Is it the AFL putting the pressure on the television station?
Yeah, that's true.
To
that definitely happens.
Give
that
it exposure.
No,
I'm just going to write now.
What do you mean?
When I was at Fox, I absolutely got. When I say, but good on them. I mean, I got pressured to promote the game. That's fair enough.
There's another
what the women's game?
Yeah, that's fair enough though. That's what their job is. That's smart.
Yes, they're public
I'm
relations.
Saying, that's what I'm saying. But the netball doesn't have that power.
There's another question from a friend.
No, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. They're trying to promote their women's game. They don't, ultimately they're just trying to promote
women's. Why didn't you put netball on Fox then?
We did. And then we lost the rights. We got beaten for them.
So
then we bid. We got them up to a certain point. We had it, and then we got our bid.
Rocket, let me get this right. So the question to Gil is, when I have coffee with him, why do you promote it? What was the question you want me to ask him about AFL women's football?
I don't have a problem with it.
So is he pushing AFL?
An unintended consequence of what they're doing by pushing women's football is it taking away from the number one female sport in the country?
Because netball. When he rings me, he will say, "How long will the coffee go for?" And I'll say, "Well, I've got a few questions here. I don't want it to go anymore.
I need half a day.
I need a lifetime. No, I need half a day. I don't want to hold him up because he's extremely busy. And
he's
how
a good friend? He'll
how
put time
he would
aside.
Diarise.
You might end up going over for dinner.
How? What?
You might end up going over for dinner.
How?
Over where?
Going over where?
Over to his place.
Where is his place?
Paran.
No, Berrigarra, isn't it?
How do you know where he lives?
Could have been there.
But I thought the brothers owned the Berrigarra pub.
Don't tell me I have to go down there for coffee.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's through Geelong. You know Geelong, and it's on the way
so
down.
If he said...
I think Sam knows Geelong.
If he said, could you come for coffee, and I said, where? He said, to Berrigarra.
You'd know where to go.
What two-hour drive to have coffee? Yeah, I'd go.
The
I'd
hotel.
Go.
It'd be a very nice meal.
I'm not leaving my apartment until... I would hate to be out of town if he rang.
Because the cat would be lonely.
The what? That what are we going to call the cat?
Right? Cat.
Okay, done.
Sifa.
Cat?
Sifa. Sifa cat.
What's that done?
The cat. The blue Hello? Russian. Is it the blue Russian?
Sifa something.
I'll call the cat Alan. Alan.
What about Kevin?
Alan is a great
You could
name.
Call
Alan,
him Kevin.
Alan Shield.
Alan is a great name.
Bash, Bugs, and Moth.
Kevin's a good
what
name.
What about
too.
Kevin?
Kevin Hines.
No.
Hello, viewers. Tonight.
sign off, will you, Kevin?
Hello.
Now,
this
you,
is
what
So
the
What? I'm
Tell
Kevin
now,
Hines.
What are you calling the cat?
I'm going to call it Pot Black. What?
What are you going to call a cat?
Cat. I'll call it.
Is it male or female? What are we getting?
Well, I'll cut its egg. I don't know. I'll call it Rocket.
No, you know what?
You've got to have it spayed.
Spayed for on Shield.
Right, our guest is waiting.
Right, thanks.
I'm hoping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you